Good morning, everybody. Our portion is Parashat Chukat. I want to discuss one particular point in the parasha, and we'll see that it reflects on the content of the whole parasha. So I want you to open on page 843, which is not the beginning of the parasha, but it's leading us towards the points that I want to discuss. Just a minute. Okay, good. Fine. So I want to read the beginning of chapter on page 843. The children of Israel, the whole assembly, arrived at the wilderness of Zin in the first months, and the people settled in Kadesh. In this place, Kadesh, where the people settled, okay, the Torah tells us next, Miriam died there and she was buried there. So in Kadesh, Miriam died. She is one of the three leaders of the Jewish people, Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam, the two brothers, and she is the sister, and she died there. Right after, second pasuk, there was no water for the assembly, and they gathered against Moshe and Aaron. So, what's going on here? Miriam died, and right after, the Torah tells us that there was no water. And Rashi tells us that the connection between the two things is that the water was given to the Jewish people in the desert in the merit of Miriam. And that's why as soon as she died, there was no water. Then the Jewish people came to Moshe and Aaron, as we read in the Pasuk, and the story of Mei Meriva of Moshe hitting the rock instead of speaking to the rock took place afterwards, but Moshe anyhow got water out of the rock by hitting it twice. So the Torah teaches us that in the merit of Miriam, the Jewish people had water. So I want to discuss the well of Miriam, the well that was given to the Jewish people in the merit of Miriam. As we know, there were three presents that the Jewish people got in the desert. The man, the clouds that protected them and prepared the path for them, straightened the ground so they can walk comfortably, and the well water. And our sages tell us that in the merit of the three leaders, man in the merit of Moshe, the clouds in the merit of Aharon, and the well in the merit of Miriam. So I want to discuss today the merit of Miriam and the well that the Jewish people got as a result of it. We will touch shortly, briefly also about the present of the man that was given in the merit of Moshe. So what was this well that gave them water? So I gathered information from different sources, Rashi, Midrashim, different sources. And I want to give a brief description of what this well was about and how did it function. So Rashi says it was like a rock that had some holes in it. And it walked together with the Jewish people for 40 years in the desert from one place to the other. Whenever the Jewish people needed to drink water, water came out of the rock. The way it was done was that a mouth, so to speak, an opening was created in this well, and a pillar of water came up from it. Any time that the Jewish people needed to drink, when they camped in a particular place, the well was close to the Mishkan. It was on a high platform. And when the Jewish people needed water, they came. After they camped, they came to the place where the were the Velvos, the heads of the tribes, with their sticks. If you remember from the story of Korach, each one had a mate, had a staff, right? So they would come with it, and they would tell the Vel, Ali be'er, come up, Vel. And then the water will come forth, and they will take their sticks, their staffs, each one of them, put it in the water, and take the stick with them from the water on the ground till the place that their tribe camped. And all along this journey, a river was made from the well to the tribe with a lot of water, and it gave water for their particular tribe. So we had basically 12 rivers, starting from the well and leading towards the place of camping of each tribe, and this was the source of water. If this is not enough, our sages tell us that the waters also surrounded the whole Jewish camp, and a piece of land, like a ring around the camp, filled up with water. And around it, next to it, because there was water there, trees grew, grass grew, flowers grew, fruits grew, and the Jewish people enjoyed it. More than this, they say that when a woman that camped, let's say, on the east side of the Mishkan, wanted to visit a friend that camped on the west side of the Mishkan, it was quite a journey. So she took a small little boat, and with it, around the camp in this river that was created from the well, took, you know, a short path without effort, right? And she came to visit her friend. So it's a very unusual, miraculous reality. The water did not come from underground. The air, the well, moved from one place to the other. It was not connected to the ground. And miraculously, whenever the Jewish people needed to drink, they got it. Okay? So it's a miraculous event. And it took place for 4 years. And we are told that the opening of the well was closed all along. Only when the Jewish people wanted to drink, then it opened up. So it was like a regular act with some holes in it, but no water coming up. When the Jewish people needed water, as I said, the elders came, the heads of the tribes, they spoke to the well, they told her, come up, and then the water came up, then the mouth, so to speak, opened, the water came out, and when they finished drinking, it closed again. Very interesting phenomenon. Now, where did this well come from? So our sages tell us in Ethics of Our Fathers, in the chapter we read last Shabbat, chapter 5, that 10 things were created between Friday and Shabbat, Bein Hashmashot, after sunset of Friday, but before it was fully night, the in-between time, right, between Friday and Shabbat, 10 things were created. Among them, interestingly enough, quite a few things that that we know about from the 40 years in the desert. Like our sages say, Pi ha'aretz, the opening of the ground that swallowed Korach and all the people that were with him, as we learned last week. Pi ha'aton, the opening of the mouth of the donkey of Bilam, that was miraculous, donkeys don't speak, right? The man, right? And also, Pi ha'be'er, the well and its opening. Another thing, Eilo shel Avraham, when Avraham went to sacrifice Yitzchak, as we know Hashem told him not to sacrifice him, even though he was already ready on the altar. And Avraham lifted up his eyes and he saw a ram standing there. And we are told this ram was prepared and created between the sixth day of creation and the seventh day, between the sixth day of creation and Shabbat. Now, the Maharal explains that it doesn't mean that they really were created fully at that point. Otherwise, the ram of that Abraham brought as an offering instead of Yitzhak should have been 2,000 years old and the donkey of Bilam 2,500 years ago. When our sages tell us that they were created at this time, it means that Hashem put into creation the ability to create those things when the time will come. So it was in potential there, but came into reality whenever it was necessary. In this, if this is the case, why did it have to be created already at the time of creation? Between Friday and Shabbat, the sixth day and Shabbat, it could have been created basically when it was necessary. So the Maharal explains that all those things were unique things. They had some physical aspect, like there was a donkey, there was a well, there was man, but it was not a normal donkey, a normal well. It was miraculous. It was something that was created in within the framework of this world because it had a physical nature, but it was not like all other creations that were physical creations. This be'er, this well, this stone that the water came out of, came up from at the time of the desert was not the same as any other rock on earth. Even a rock that water come out of from a well, from underground. This was a specific, special, miraculous thing that Hashem created in potential. The possibility is that this will come into reality at a certain time. So it teaches us where is the source for all these miracles that happened in the desert with this well. It was a rock, water came out of it. We know rocks where water comes up from, but it comes from underground. This is something different, it's miraculous. And even though it's a physical reality, it has a spiritual component, not only to the rock, but to the water as well, as we'll soon see. Okay? Now, so we learned a few facts about the veil. And now we want to see why was this veil given to the Jewish people in the merit of Miriam? Why the veil in the merit of Miriam? We'll also touch on why the man a little later in the merit of Moshe. We won't touch today on the clouds that were in the merit of Abraham. So why in the merit of Miriam? So obviously the essence of the veil is water, right? So it has somehow to be connected to Miriam and water. And a few explanations are given by commentaries and in the Midrash. One is, the earliest is, that when Moshe was thrown into the Nile, Miriam was standing there to see what will happen with him. So she stood there, waited to see what will be the fate of Moshe when he was on the water. So there was something with water connected to Miriam, and in this merit, the well came for 40 years because of it. That's one thing. The second is, as we know, water is the source of life. We are told, Mayim Chayim Laolam. Water is the source of life. It gives life to the whole world. And on Miriam is written that she gave life to the newborn babies when Pharaoh appointed her midwife and asked her to kill all the baby boys. Not only didn't she kill them, as he commanded her, but she was doing anything and everything in order that they will stay alive, taking care of all the needs of the mother and the baby and making sure he'll be strong and will live. So she gave life. So it's suitable and proper that in this merit, the Jewish people will get water because of Miriam. And the third thing that I saw written is Miriam was the woman that led the song that the Jewish people sang after the waters of Yam Suf split. And in this merit, she is now the source for the water that the Jewish people had for 40 years in the desert. And this reason connects us further to something else that is written in the Chumash right after, a little bit later. If you go to page 853, you'll hear about an event that took place at the end of 40 years. After 40 years in the desert, okay? It's in chapter 21. The Torah tells us the following. There was a very great miracle that happened to the Jewish people, and they did not even know about it. Didn't know about it. What was it? The Amorites did not want to let the Jewish people to pass through their land, and they were afraid of the Jewish people. They were interested in fighting them and overcoming them. Now, there was a canyon that on the bottom was a river, very narrow canyon, and on the bottom was a low river. And the Amorites calculated that that's the only way that the Jewish people have to pass in order to come towards them and fight them. So they hid there in the rocks of the canyon, intending that when the Jewish people will come and walk through the river that is on the bottom, they'll throw stones on them, arrows of them, and kill them. Hashem performed the miracles. The two walls, the two sides of the canyon, were very close to each other, and they were like something like this. On one side, there were things that sticked out, and on the other side, there were places that they can come into. So what Hashem did, he pulled the two mountains towards each other, and everyone that hid in them was killed. The Jewish people did not know about it. It was a hidden miracle. But our sages say, when you give a present to a child, you have to tell his mother. You have to make her known that that her child got a present. So Hashem gave the Jewish people a present. He wanted them to know about it. So what happened? Later on, after all these people died, Hashem pushed the two rocks to their original place, and all the bodies and parts of limbs that were in the rocks fell into the river. And the well of Miriam went there, gathered the limbs, gathered the bones, and brought it to the Jewish camp so they could see that Hashem made a miracle for them. And as a result of it, there is a song that the Jewish people sang. And the song starts with the words, Ali ve'er, come up well. This was the sentence that the leaders of the Jewish people said when they wanted the well to give water, come up well, right? Bring out the water. This is part of the song that the Jewish people sang after this miracle. So the well of Miriam performed another miracle. In addition to giving the Jewish people water, right? She also showed them that Hashem made a miracle with them, for them. Okay? Hashem loves them. Hashem performed the miracle without them even realizing that he did it for them. So this is what we know more or less about the veil. There are more things, but I took the main opinions of commentaries, Midrashim, and brought together the nature of this veil and why it was given to the Jewish people in the merit of Miriam. Okay, I want to go now a little deeper about this Be'er, this well, and also about the merit of Miriam the connection between the veil and Miriam, and the two songs, the one that was said on Yam Suf, and the one that was said now after 40 years. So we'll start first with Enora Chaim, commentated to the Torah, grew up in Morocco, came to Israel after his Yahrzeit is really soon, few days, and he's buried in Yerushalayim, and many, many people go to the Kever to pray. Now, he says the following. He says, the songs that the Jewish people said here, as a result of the miracles that Hashem made, the miracles that became known to them via the veil. He says, maybe, what's the nature of this song, he asks. Why did they say a song after this miracle? So many miracles happened to the Jewish people in the desert. They got man, they got the clouds. We don't find that they said a song on other things that happened. Many things happened. They fought Amalek, the bitter water became sweet, and many others, right? Why did they say here a song? So he says as follows. It might be that this song is a song that the Jewish people sang to Hashem in order to appreciate and express their thanks, their gratitude because they received the Torah. What's the connection? Okay, but that's what he says. It's a song where the Jewish people sing to Hashem because they received the Torah. And that's why he says, we don't find that the Torah blames the Jewish people for not thanking Hashem for the receiving of the Torah. Obviously, there will be a question, why didn't they say it right after the receiving of the Torah? Why did they say it at the end of the 40 years? We'll soon come to it. But it's a song that this was the proper time to say, not right after the giving of the Torah. And the Jewish people sang a song for it. Now, he says, what's the connection? Because the Torah is called a veil of water. We know that Chazal say, Ma maim chaim la Torah, kach Torah chaim la olam. The same way that water is the source of life for all of this world, the same way that Torah is the source of life and existence in this world. So water and Torah are connected. And he says, the Torah is connected to water, is called water, is compared to water. And when they said, Ali be'er, when they said, come up water off the veil, they basically asked that the knowledge of Torah, the understanding of Torah, the secrets of Torah will be revealed to them. And they thank Hashem for the fact that they were able to do it. And he says, they didn't thank Hashem only on the veil that gave physical waters to drink, but they think of the veil coming from above, the veil of knowledge and holiness of Torah. That's what the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says. And very interesting, if we look at this song, vis-a-vis the song that the Jewish people said after the splitting of the Red Sea, we'll understand why they waited for 40 years to say it and didn't say it right after the receiving of the Torah. The songs that the Jewish people said after the splitting of the Red Sea started with the verb, Az Yashir Moshe Uvnei Israel. Then Moshe and the Jewish people will think. Moshe and the Jewish people. If we look at our source, page 853, verse number 17, it's written, when Israel sang this song. Moshe is not mentioned. Where is Moshe? He was still the leader. Aaron did not live anymore. Miriam did not live anymore. But Moshe did. So where is Moshe singing with them this song? Why not? Okay, So I want to read to you a Midrash. And the Midrash says as follows. When the Jewish people stood in order to say the song of the splitting of the Red Sea, Lo inichan Moshe sheyomru le'atzmam. Moshe did not let them say it by themselves. The same way that a Rebbe to a student will teach him what to say, how to say, guides him in what he has to say and the knowledge of Torah, the exploration of Torah. The same way Moshe was with them and he told them what to say, they followed him. Interestingly enough, this was with Miriam too. Miriam sang and the Jewish women followed her. That's what the Torah says, right? So in the song, after the splitting of the Red Sea, the leaders led the song and the Jewish people sang according to the guidance, the words that they gave them. After 4 years, says the Midrash, Amdu al Pirkam, what means in free translation, they became mature, they became adults. They don't need anymore somebody to guide them and tell them what to say, when to say, how to say. So they started to say the song of the Be'er to themselves without any leader guiding them in saying it. As it's written, As Yashir Yisrael, then the Jewish people sing. Not Moshe and the Jewish people, but the Jewish people. And the Sfatemet explains it in a beautiful, beautiful way. The Anshe HaKadosh goes along the same lines, some additions by each one, but it's a fascinating idea. And this is the following. When the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim, it was after 210 years of being there, working from morning till night, no time to study Torah, to really dedicate themselves to spiritual growth. They suffered, and the suffering accomplished things for them. But in terms of learning Torah, it was not the time. They came out of Mitzrayim, as we know, they were in 49 gates of impurity. The time for the receiving of the Torah came, and as a result of it, Hashem led them to Yam Suf, so they elevate themselves via the experience there. Then he tested them with a few tests till they came to Sinai, and then he gave them the Torah. In these 49 days between coming out of Mitzrayim and the time of the receiving of the Torah, the Jewish people went from 49 gates of impurity to 49 gates of purity. And they were on a very, very high level. It was because of what they went through in Mitzrayim and from leaving Mitzrayim till the giving of the Torah, but it was a very short period of time. So it was like a very quick path to get to this point, but they were on a very, very high level. And God prophesied on a level one stage lower than Moshe Rabbeinu, very, very high level of prophecy. When Hashem told them the Ten Commandments, they saw and heard in the Ten Commandments all the wisdom of Torah. Our sages tell us that the Ten Commandments contain the whole knowledge of Torah. When we read it today, we don't see it. But at that point of the giving of the Torah, when they heard the Ten Commandments, they knew the whole Torah. And it was a very unbelievable level. And it was on such a level that at that point, they learned and did not forget. For 40 days, all that they learned at Mount Sinai, all the clarities that they got via hearing the Ten Commandments, just Ten Commandments, a part of the written Torah, they had total and full clarity of everything in the Torah and did not forget it. But then the golden calf took place. And with the sin of the golden calf, clarity was not anymore what it was before. And now, they had to figure out on their own all that they saw in Sinai by hard work. we can say, and that's what the Sfat Emet explains and others too, that at Sinai, what they got was Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah. They saw a written part of the Torah, the Ten Commandments, and they saw everything. And everything was so clear to them as the Ten Commandments written black and white. That's what called Torah Shebichtav. Hashem brought it down from Shamayim, the tablets, with the Ten Commandments on it. Two commandments Hashem told them, then they felt it's too much for them, so Moshe told them the rest, but they basically knew the whole Torah. So basically Moshe brought down for them the Torah from Shamayim, and it was all clear, all known to them, and not getting, you know, fed it, you know, the memory was fully there. But with the golden calf, this clarity was gone. So now started the period of Torah Shebe'al Peh, meaning a period of time where they will have to work hard in order to understand all of the Torah, what we call Torah Shebe'al Peh, what is not written, and we have to figure out by heart all. That's what learning Torah is all about, right? For many generations, it was not written. It was transmitted from one generation to the other and discovered further and further. Each one has a share in the Torah that he can discover, each Jew, but was kept orally. And there was a whole system how to transmit it from one generation to the other without losing information. Till the time of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, when sages saw that because of exile and difficulties that the Jewish people went through, some has to be written in order to maintain the memory. So he wrote just headlines in the Mishnah. Later on, more was written in the Talmud. And till today, Torah is written by many scholars, by many Jewish people who toil in the learning of Torah and discover more and more of the knowledge, of the secrets, of the taste of Torah. That's a generation of Torah Shebe'al Peh, and this started after the Golden Calf. When a person toils on learning Torah in this way, with time, he and Torah become one. He becomes what we call Ben Torah, a child of the Torah. Like a child is a resemblance of the parents, right? He becomes like a child of the Torah, a son of the Torah. He becomes one with the Torah. But in order for this to happen, as we said, he has to toil. But it's not enough just to intellectually put effort and think and analyze and come to conclusions. Not enough. First, there were rules that were given to them. How to interpret the Torah, how to come to the knowledge of Torah, but there is much more to it. In order that they will become one with the Torah, it's not enough to learn. Because how do we learn? What's the faculty that we use in order to learn? It's our brain. Right? Hashem gave us sechel, Hashem gave us intellectual capacity, and via it, we learn Torah, analyze, compare, and come to conclusions. But the human brain is very limited. We can't even understand the physical reality via our brain. The more we know, the more we learn how much we don't know. Take, for example, medicine, and in any area, yeah? We don't know. Our brain is very limited. And if this is true for the physical reality, obviously it is much more so when we speak about godly Torah, something that is godly in its essence, that the brain cannot come to. So how do we get the knowledge of Torah? And how do we become one with the Torah? Again, in Ethics of Our Fathers, in chapter number 6, that we'll read the coming Shabbat, We are told, what are the things that will make Torah ours? How will we become one with the Torah? The Torah we need for it. 48 things that we need to accomplish. And when you look into the list, in chapter 6 of Ethics of Our Fathers, there are many, many things that have to do with purity of heart, with hard work, with overcoming bad temptations, bad character traits. It's a constant job of purifying oneself and developing a desire and working hard in order to get Torah. So basically what we can do, we prepare the vessel. Hashem pours the knowledge. The real knowledge of Torah is a godly gift. And that's why it's compared to a well. Torah is called Be'er Mayim Chaim. It's compared to a well. Why so? How do we get water from a well? We dig. We take out sand, right? Out, out, out. And all of a sudden, it's filled up with water if we dig it in the right way and in the right place. Right? Now, did we create a water? No. What did we do? We only prepared a vessel that was filled with the water that Hashem created. That's exactly what happens with Torah. We have to prepare a vessel. We have to make sure that we are clean, that we are not filled with things that block the holiness of Torah, the wisdom of Torah, to penetrate ourselves. And we have to use our brain to do the maximum we can in order to understand. And when we do all of it, then Hashem gives us the gift of Torah. So after the golden calf, when the Jewish people did not possess anymore the clarity of the written law that they had at Sinai, they started to do it. If you look at the journey through the desert, there were many tests there. They developed them as vessels that are ready to accept the knowledge of Torah. They worked on themselves. Sometimes they failed, but they did tshuva. They constantly worked on growth, on purification, on creating a vessel that will give them the knowledge of Torah. So this is the 40 years in the desert. And this generation, that was the highest generations of all Jewish generations, they were the foundation of the Jewish nation, prepared the ground for us to be able to do it at all generations. They did it for the first time. They taught us how to, and they inherited us the capability to do it. So we say, till the giving of the Torah and the golden calf. Till the golden calf, it's Torah Shebichtav. Everything clear, open, like written black on white. In a few sentences, they saw the whole Torah. It was a gift from heaven, totally heavenly gift. But then the clarity was gone to a big extent. And what they had to do is to toil, to work very hard on themselves, to create a vessel. And then Hashem gave them the knowledge and made them one with Torah. And this is true till today. Every person that does it today, meaning every person that A, develops himself, tries to acquire the 48 ways that we need to acquire in order to be able to get Torah from Shamayim as a gift. So every person who does it, and every person who learns and struggles to understand via the tools that Hashem gave us, the mind, and knows that he is limited in his ability and is humbling, asking Hashem to give it to him, will get it till today. And that's why we have new Torah revealed by every person who does it, also the generations till today. And it's very interesting. The details that we discussed about the Veil of Miriam now will be understood as a mashal, as a parable that explains how to acquire Torah. What happened? There was a veil, and we had to create an opening that it will come up. So the leaders came and said, come up, waters, right? And when the water came up, what did they do? They made a path for the water till where their tribe is. And this was the Torah, the water that this tribe drank. So it tells us that every tribe has a different way to connect to Torah, a different part to reveal in the Torah. And this is true for every Jew too. And that's why there was a path leading from the veil to every tribe separately. And the fruits and the grass and the trees that grew around, that obviously give shade, taste, beauty, stand for Jewish people's discovery of Torah. Every Jew can discover things, discover interpretations that were already given to Moshe and Sinai, but it's his share in Torah that he can discover. So that's what we are explained about the veil of Miriam and the fact that it really speaks about Torah. Our question now is, why is Miriam connected to it? Why is Miriam connected to the water? We know. We learned also that there were two stages, right? Stage number one was total clarity. Stage number two, the Jewish people had to struggle. So let's try to explore it. In the merit of Moshe, we got man. What is man? Man is a gift from Shamayim. The Jewish people got it as a gift from Shamayim. This stands for the concept of Torah Shebichtav. And Moshe, who brought down the Torah for us from Shamayim, from heavens, in his full clarity. And that's why the man is like bread, and the Torah is compared to bread. There is a pasuk that says, Lechu lachamu velachmi, go eat my bread, referring to Torah. So Moshe gave us the substance of Torah, the knowledge of Torah, the fullness of Torah, which is what sustains us. So the man came in his merit. The be'er, the veil, was because of Miriam, and it's Torah she'be'al peh. It's the oral law that, as we said, comes from us, right? Via our struggle to sanctify ourselves and learn Torah. Why is it connected to Miriam? There is something very beautiful that is explained here. Let's take the story of Miriam standing, waiting to see what will happen with Moshe. At that point, Miriam was 6 years old, about 6 years old, young girl. Her parents, by no choice, trying to save Moshe, put him in a basket on the Nile. What did she do? She went there, stood there, waiting to see what will happen. Now listen for a moment. Can she help Moshe? The parents couldn't. There is no way to help a newborn. The Egyptians followed the Jewish mothers. They knew when the children were born, they came to take them and to throw them into the Nile. The parents said, let's do what we can and Hashem will do the rest. We don't know if he will save him or not, but we will do the rest. But Miriam knew that Moshe will be the savior of the Jewish people, the one who gives them the Torah. She told it to her parents before he was born. That's why they remarried. As a result of the decrease of Pharaoh, they didn't want to have children that will be thrown to the Nile, so they got divorced. Miriam brought them to get married again, and Moshe was born, and when he was born, the whole house was filled with light, the light of Torah. Ki Tov, light of Torah. So she was standing there, trying to see what she can do. Now, could she save him from the water? He can drown easily. He had no water, no food, no nothing. Right? Could she save him from the Egyptians? As we saw later on, Batyarev came to the Nile and so on. So why was she standing there? Because we have to do what we can. The results, not up to us. The only thing she could do was to stand there. And most probably she prayed there. What else could she do? Right? It's not written, but it's obvious, right? So she stood there, basically, in practical terms, unable to do anything. But she did what she could. And when a person does everything they want to do that they can, Hashem gives the results. And Batya came. She saw Moshe. As we know, there was another miracle. She wanted to save him. Her hand did not reach the basket. It was in the middle of the Nile. But Hashem stretched her arm again because she tried and risked her life for it, right? Because the decree of the king was to throw to the Nile all the children. So Hashem made another miracle and Moshe was saved. This is exactly the process of learning Torah, as we explained. We learn. We cannot understand Torah just via the faculties that we have. Our life is short. Our brain is very, very limited. The Torah is godly and can be contained godly. Can we draw down godliness? Not naturally. But if we do whatever we can do, as Miriam did, Hashem will grant us the gift of Torah, as he saved Moshe, who was the one to give Torah to the Jewish people. So that's another reason why the veil was in the merit of Miriam. Or this is the explanation of what our sages say, that the veil was because of Miriam, because she was standing by the water, watching to see what will happen with Moshe. So because of it, she has to give a veil to the Jewish people. Practically, she didn't do anything for Moshe then, right? Later on, she suggested to bring Yocheved to nurse him and so on. But at that point of standing by the water, she couldn't do anything. But she did everything she could. And that's basically the way to become one with Torah. We have to realize that the privilege of being born as a Jew means we can become one with Torah, what is something supernatural. If we look at great people in the Jewish nation, of real Torah scholars in the Jewish nation, they are like angels in their behavior between men and men, between men and Hashem. They have peace of mind. They are people that are basically not regular human beings. They are greater than angels. That's something unbelievable. But this is a gift. But we were created in such a way that if we do what humanly is possible, Hashem grants us godly powers. And that's the reason that we are so happy that we are part of the Jewish nation. That's what we say when we bless every day, make every day the blessings for the Torah, before we learn Torah. We say, Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim. We thank Hashem for choosing us from all the nations. V'chayei olam nata betocheinu, implanted in us eternal life. Physicality is not eternal. But when you have godliness in you, you have a share in the world to come. And this is eternal. That's a privilege that is beyond understanding. It's only the kindness of Hashem. Okay? And Miriam is really a symbol for it. And that's why she gave the veil to the Jewish people in her merit in the desert. After she passed away, Moshe and Aaron hit the rock. Moshe hit the rock, Aaron was there too, and in their merit, it continued to give water to the Jewish people. But the original one, that in his merit, it was for the Jewish people for 40 years, is Miriam. Now let's go one step further. It's very interesting. Miriam is a woman. A woman doesn't have the obligation to study the oral law. What she has to study is all the laws that apply to everyday life, right? To holidays. Everything that she has to do, that she's obligated to do, all the mitzvot that she has to keep, she has to learn and know the details. She has to learn them. But the general knowledge of Torah is the obligation of the men to acquire. This is not the job of the woman. But what's the connection of the women to Torah? The capability of the woman is to prepare a vessel. That's what Miriam did. And that's what women are. The definition of the job of a woman in this world is to inspire others, to help others to acquire Torah. If it's in a family setting, if it's in a communal setting, it's the women that their job is preparation. They have to prepare. They have to create a vessel. And in fact, the creation of the vessel is what we can do. Even when men study Torah, they basically prepare a vessel. The knowledge itself, the connection to Torah, comes from Hashem. So being the Jewish women are capable of preparing a vessel, growing spiritually, desiring to connect to Hashem, aspiring for spirituality, this gives them a share in Torah. And our sages say something very interesting. They say that women can be more calm about the reward in the world to come. Because studying Torah has to be done only because Hashem commanded us to study and in total purity. What Chazal called Leshem Shamayim, Torah Lishma. Torah, for the sake of doing the will of Hashem in the way we study Torah. That's a very high level and not so easy. But to prepare the vessel is easier. So our reward in the world to come is more guaranteed when we do our job than the reward of the men. So the first Shira is said by Moshe first and then by the Jewish people. And then the Jewish people become one with Torah after 40 years of doing what we just described. And then it comes out of themselves because what they express is Torah. And that's the greatest appreciation of Torah. When a person realizes that he and Torah become one. And that's why it says, "As Yashir Israel et Hashira Azot." Then the Jewish people, without Moshe, were able to sing the song because they and Torah became one. And they told the veil, come up, meaning they prepared a vessel that can be filled with Torah. Now, it's very interesting. I spoke about Miriam and the veil. Our sages say that the veil appeared before Miriam, by Yaakov, when he went to Haran, and he met Rachel by the veil, by Moshe, who met Zipporah by the veil, the veil that Abraham dug, the veil that Yitzchak dug. This concept of digging wells and filling them with water, meaning connecting to Hashem via preparing a vessel, happened also via others. And that's why if you look at the song that the Jewish people sang, at 8:53, it says as follows. Then Israel said this song, verse 17, come up, O well, announce it. Okay, announce it refers to the miracles that happened, right? You well, announce the miracles that happened. And then it says, well, the princess dig, who are the princes, Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, that the nobles of the people excavated, right? People who supported learners, right? And so on, okay? Through a lawgiver, that's Moshe, Viverstas, a gift from the wilderness. And then it says, the gift went to the valley, and from the valley to the heights, referring to the miracle that took place, and from the heights to the valley in the field of Moab, at the top of the peak, outlooking the surface of the wilderness. This last language, expression, outlooking the surface of the wilderness, our sages say it refers to what happened to the well after life in the desert. So they say that the well went with the Jewish people into the land of Israel. And obviously there they didn't need a water from the well. They were already in a place where there were rivers and sources of water. Not necessary, right? What happened to the well? Our sages say that it's in within the Kinneret, the Lake of Kinneret. And there are testimonies from different people through the generations that they saw like a well inside, not from stone, water, like a whirlpool of water in the middle of the Kinneret, across from Shul's very famous synagogues in Tveria, right, that face this place. And we are told different miracles that happened by people who somehow got there and drank from the water. And I'll just give one. It's written that the Ari HaKadosh, who was the master of Kabbalah in Tzfat about 400 years ago, took his student, Rav Chaim Vital, another luminary of Kabbalah, with a small little boat to the well of Miriam in the Kinneret, and he made him drink from the water. And since then, the mind of Rav Chaim Vital was opened up to the secret of Kabbalah, and he mastered the wisdom. So even though we today don't know where it is, but we know one thing. The well of Miriam is with us, meaning the ability to prepare a vessel that Hashem will fill up in terms of learning Torah and in terms of spiritual growth is here till today. It's in Tveria, it's in the land of Israel. One can reach it wherever he is, as long as he does the work of digging and pushing away the earthly. Right? That's what we do when we dig, a well. And then the waters, the spirituality comes up. Okay, we finish here and open to questions and remain.
Before we open for questions, the class is dedicated to Le'ila Nishas, Esther Chaya Bat Rachel Leah, and Meira Chaya Nechama Bracha, Bas David Mordechai. We will open for questions.
Okay.
All right, ladies.
Please.
I have a question.
Okay. Go ahead.
It's not really a question, it's really a comment, actually. Okay, I'm just wondering if perhaps you had mentioned, or there was a mention that Miriam was really basically passive when she was waiting for her brother.
You
see, you had mentioned that Miriam was basically passive when she was waiting by the water, but I was just thinking to myself that perhaps it was more like it's a piece of the Yeshua, that she was really waiting with Emunah to see what was going to happen because she knew in her heart that Hashem would save her. So with that waiting, it was really, it was not passive because it was really more an active in her mind that she was
sure.
anticipating.
That's why I said, practically speaking, she
yeah,
could not
yeah.
help. But she prayed for sure. She had trust in Hashem. She wanted, obviously, spiritually, she did a lot. But physically, what could she do? Nothing, right? Still, she did
it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'd like to
sure.
say something. I'd like to thank Mrs. Cohen. For
I can't hear. Who is speaking?
I'd like to thank
Susan.
Mrs.
We still
Cohen.
Can't hear you, Susan.
I don't know how to make it louder. I don't
okay.
want to thank.
Now
Mrs.
I can hear you. Go ahead.
I want to thank Mrs. Cohen for a year of tremendous inspiration to all of us. Constance,
I
it's
want to thank
always
all of you because you are a big inspiration for me too. And many times I wish myself that I'll internalize what I'm saying the way you do and grow with it the way you do. So thank you. We should all have a wonderful summer and we'll come back in Mirzashem in September. You'll get emails to let you know when
Amen.
ended. Okay.
Amen.
All
Amen.
the best. Thank you,
Amen.
Susan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll miss you.
Thank
We'll
you
miss
very
you.
much. I'll miss you too, but we need time
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
to nourish
Lisa.
ourselves and to be able to continue. All the best.